This is Take Note, is a podcast about keeping a notebook, paying attention. I'm here with my good friend, Ted Walker. Ted, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Open house. Great. Middle school open house was tonight, so I'm on fire with inspiration of all these amazing teachers. Doing it. Just going for it. Like, as a grown-up, like, there are other grown-ups, and I'm just like, they're doing this, man. These grown-ups are doing it.
You know, when I think of middle school, I think what I think of is one English assignment I had where we had to analyze like any piece of art that we liked, and I think I took the Nirvana song Lithium off the B-side collection Incesticide.
Very on brand middle school student, I would say.
Well,
you're consistent.
I mean, were you not into grunge in middle school? Were you not into Nirvana in middle school?
I was trying and I was failing to.
Okay. No. Well, I was a tryhard. And I was gonna say I only picked that song, and this is the only thing I remember about the assignment or the song or basically middle school. I only picked that song because it was the only Nirvana song where you could understand the lyrics. Yeah.
A plus.
All right. I'm you know, congratulations on your middle school open house.
Thank you. That's great. You'll be hearing more from me on that topic in a few minutes here.
Oh, it's a little teaser. How exciting. Yeah. We always like to talk about the things that we've written in our notebooks in our signature segment. What do you got? Ted, what do you got?
So this is a slightly older category of student, but the students are back on the college campus where I work. So go have lunch on campus. Get lots overhear lots of business.
Do you work in the? Are you saying you work in the lunchroom? Is that?
I eat lunch in the lunchroom.
Oh, okay.
Where students also dine.
Important to clarify.
So overheard. An athletic guy. You know, you could call him a bro, but this is an institute of higher learning. There's no bros at Rice University, really. But if you were going to call him something, you'd have to call him a bro. Parking office told me I'm banned from parking on campus until December. Why are they so mad, bro? I guess technically he called them a bro, so I can call him a bro, too.
Is that the bro code? He calls someone a bro, you can call him a bro.
And he then went on to describe the many ways that he acquired the many parking tickets that he that had led to his suspension. What do you got, Adam?
Well, okay, I was only gonna do one, but I gotta smush two together because I was listening to some guy who I assume was a bro tonight, and he was in a group of ladies and bros. And I heard him say, my celebrity crush will always be Billie Eilish or Olivia Rodrigo or Sadie Sink. And then, no shit, then the bros all started talking about how high schoolers and high school TV shows look like middle-aged people already. Yeah. And then they started talking about Adderall. Very on... I don't know, very on something. But my what he got is not that.
Oh, good.
I was trying to resist that one. But then you said bros. All right, so this is what I've written in my notebook.
Bro code is anytime anybody says bro, you got to read your what
That's
you got
right.
about bros.
That's the bro code. All right, I wrote once you're 40, and I put an asterisk by because I think the number should be lower. But I wrote once you're 40, every concert you go to is inherently about the passage of time. And so last week, Cognitive Dissonance at the Pearl Jam show, when Eddie Vedder dedicates a B-side to Donahue, in memory of Donahue. And like, I understand kind of, I can imagine all the reasons why he might have been close with Donahue. He explained that he was close with Donahue.
Like, wow.
Uh-huh. I think just lefty politics, I get all that. But if you could go to that show, be one of 47,000 people, I've never been to a show that large, be one of 47,000 people and hear, you know, 90s rocker any better, dedicate a song to Donahue, yep. and not just go, wait, what? it means either, it means you weren't paying attention because you were talking through the show, like, yeah. like quite a few people. And then I've also written down here some lyrics that I think I've just really heard for the first time from one of my favorite bands, Pulp, who I will see next week. They'll play Chicago for the first time in 29 years. It's going to be the happiest moment of my life, you know, after a few others. But in the song Help the Aged, which was a sincere song about, you know, thinking about and helping the aged, which raised money for them, the lyrics, "It's time you took an older lover, baby." Always heard that one. Never quite heard this next line correctly. "Teach you stuff, although he's looking rough."
What?
The older lover teaches stuff, although he's looking rough.
Oh, what? God. Like, hooking up with Phil Donahue over here.
That's right. But anyway,
well,
I do think...
Donahue, speaking of, you know, time warps, it's like when you look up how old Phil Donahue was when we watched him on TV, you know, the epitome of, like, an old man, probably, like, 42 years old when he was, like, right. at the height of his fame.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh.
The quintessential grumpy old man was, yeah, younger than.
Yeah, that's right. What do you got?
Okay, so this, the teaser is about to come full circle. I'm reading from my 12-year-old kid's schedule for open house, 7 minutes in each classroom. So I took down notes on this printout that they handed us, so bear with me. In gym, open house, dad says to his wife, presumably, "Where do we sit where we can have a back?" Let's see. PE coach speaking into the mic to the group. "Yeah, we're gonna do. We got uniforms coming in. The extra smalls for the real little kids. They're on their way." He says, "Hey, and I encourage deodorant, but not the aerosol Axe sprays. We have some students who are allergic, and that could lead to a catastrophic event." let's see. A dad walking in, kid's trying to show his dad around. Dad says, "Hey, I know this place." All right, dad, relax. Get it. And this superintendent that I've been complaining about for months now, one of the moms was asking my daughter. He came around to the school and visited classrooms, so my daughter got to see him in person. So this mom says to May, my daughter, "Mike Miles, is he little?" May nods her head. She goes, "Makes a lot of sense." It's like, whew, hot fire. Coming from the middle school mom. One of the teachers, math teacher, she divulges that that her husband teaches bagpipe at a nearby private school. Went to Carnegie Mellon University. He was a bagpipe major. He was the only one. let's see. I'm going to say last but not least, Mr. Douglas. This is not a quote. This is just a fact. Mr. Douglas complimented my shirt. And I have not let my daughter forget that fact because Mr. Douglas was cool. Those are my what do you gots from middle school open house.
Fantastic. I really liked our we did that for what, I don't know if they called it an open house because kids weren't there, but we did that 7 minutes of class for high school last year, and I felt like it told me everything I needed to know about all these teachers.
Yes.
Or at all the classes, and it was really useful, right? Like
total,
so
much to now tie. You know, when I hear, you know, what'd you do today? I have so much more to attach it to.
Yeah.
Visually, emotionally.
Exactly.
Audibly, utterly. It was fantastic.
I spent the whole year bothering my son about his human geography class because I couldn't understand what human geography was. But all I had to do really, every time it really bothered me, was remember that that teacher at open house didn't know what human geography was either, you know? Like, we're not alone.
I kept saying, "Mate, these people are amazing. They're just generous and dedicated." And she was like, "This is not how they are." I said, well, now you, on this open house, you get to see how they really are, and then you get to know how people have to be to teach a group of students. Anybody, nobody's how they are when they have to teach a group of students. So it's not how they really are, isn't it? What do you got, Adam?
Well, I got a notebook of the week. Every week we move away from what do you got, and we never forget to talk about our notebook of the week.
Never miss it. Never miss that segment.
This week's notebook of the week was supposed to be last week's notebook of the week, but it didn't show up in the mail in time. It's the Field Notes XOXO 2024 edition. And it's a grid notebook with a blue grid. This is always good when I remember that I don't know the colors. It's a bright wine with a blue graph. It's a blue cover. Yeah. There's maybe like 18 different covers, and they are a photo of a cyanotype capturing the light through an oak tree at a high school in Portland, Oregon, created by Ellen White. And I wanted it to be the notebook of the week because I love the way that Field Notes has started using other artists, and I think they've really for their covers. And I think they really have been hitting that out of the park lately. Like, they had the Flora edition, maybe, I'm going to say, 6 months ago. Who knows if that's right. And that was just a really great use of art on covers. And before that was the Heartland edition. Mm-hmm. And I think that one was pretty darn good, too. Like, I got no complaints with that, but I do think they just keep getting better and better. And I think... You know, I think of it as like a, you know, they, gosh, I don't, it's not like they were running out, but they really needed to embrace this, in my opinion. Like, I think maybe it was super focused for a while on those National Parks editions that had all the art, and those were good, but I like these abstract ones. So, I don't know if you've seen this one, but like, you know, it reminds me of like a hypercolor thing from the 90s or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it is at all, but I love the look of it. I love both the simplicity of it and the complexity of it.
Very nice. Well, I did immediately ask you, is it really textured or is this photograph of textured? And it's photograph of textured. Is that fair?
Yes, it is fair. I mean, if you go to the Field Notes page for this edition, there's a close-up picture of the texture.
Yes.
And I do not believe that that is a close-up picture of the notebook. I mean, I could be wrong.
That's always a tough one out of the block for me because the texture looks beautiful and you'd think they could accomplish that. I'm sure it would not be easy, but it sets the expectation for texture. And then, so that's how, you know, I'm glad the design is nice. It looks very handsome. I'm totally down with it, but that always puts it behind the eight ball for me.
I think I had missed that picture until we talked about it just now, you know. I do not think I'd seen that like header picture of the texture, because I will say, I certainly could be wrong, but I mean, this is a photo cover, but it's a sharp one. Yeah
It looks great. It reminds me of the art of a guy named Demetrius Oliver, who he's a contemporary artist, very conceptual. I'll link to it, but he years ago, he did art where he would X-ray an umbrella, kind of weird, like using materials to create kind of prints, but like in a different weird way that involved the body sometimes or the skeleton or objects. Really, I mean, just worth looking up because he's really fantastic. But this was reminiscent. Like he messes with kind of that sort of photocopy style, but with mechanics and mechanisms and things like that. So check that out. But this, it just vaguely reminded me of that. But kind of got this X-ray daguerreotype kind of cool thing going on. Are you going to this XOXO festival? I'll admit I've never understood what it was. Never looked deeper.
Should we go?
Where is it?
It already happened. We missed it. It was the last one. It was in Portland.
Portland. All right. Just down the street.
It's an invite only. You got to get in, you gotta get yourself invited. Sure. I believe I applied to go once. I wonder if maybe it was 2020 and it never happened, because I don't even think I didn't get the invite. I mean, I think inevitably I wasn't going to get the invite. But I do think I applied to go once, if memory serves. But it happened. It was the last one. We missed it. They did, you know, the XOXO notebooks. It did create a number of cool field notes, including the glitch one. I can't remember if it's called the glitch one. They also had really cool Shauna X art and the like blobby Brendan Monroe art. That was 2015. They had one, the one that was my favorite. I think we got a blog post about it. We should link to the blog post. Was the Field Notes Glitch Edition, which Field Notes themselves even links to somebody else's blog post about it, not my blog post. Damn it. They were looking for mine, I bet. But our SEO wasn't up to the task. Yeah. But yeah, they've done some really cool things for this show. And never again, you know? It's over.
Never again, man.
Yeah, but cool.
Just,
but I
just missed it.
But I hope they keep using, you know, these cool artists. I don't know if they got connected to them through XOXO, but
I think it's cool artists. To me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, what better way to inject creativity and spark into something that, you know, you do so many editions of? Like, it's a blank canvas. Find creative people to do cool designs. I mean, that seems like. It's a gimme putt. I really liked the Flora edition too. Now that you bring those up,
yeah.
This Index edition, I'm seeing.
I'm using
it. Was it like summertime and I just totally whiffed on it? Didn't even notice this thing come out.
I guess so. Yeah, it was the summer edition.
Okay, it's a date book. See, I'm never. I could care less for a date book.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a few of them. So there's. There's a logbook, which is like there's you can fill in stars and you can like rank records or rank concerts that you've been to or something like that. You can use it for whatever. And so they sell you a 2-pack of logbooks or a ledger and date book edition. And I am using the ledger. And I like when they create a date book, and I like that they've done a logbook. I don't know exactly if I'll ever use it, but I like when there's different uses for the books.
Okay.
I'm using Ledger right now, but I'm not using it as a ledger. I've just started this notebook 4 days ago. I'm almost halfway through it. I'm drawing it a lot. I'm writing it a lot. I talk about Linda Barry a lot, and my youngest and I, we listen to an interview with Linda Barry, and we've been creating some characters for comics with Linda Barry. And Linda Barry has a thing where you do, you draw a mermaid with your eyes closed. But we drew Cyclopses with our eyes closed.
Ooh.
And my eyes closed Cyclops blew me and blew my son away.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a bold claim.
Yeah. I mean, I'll send you a picture. We can't post it, right? Because it's copyright. But I've been using it a lot. It's very sturdy. It's got 56 pages. There's something with... They've got a pocket in the back. And... something to do with inserting this pocket in the back requires a secret fourth staple. Yep. I haven't figured that out.
Fourth staple not included?
No, it's included and necessary, but I don't understand the why of it being necessary. I don't really get that. But, you know, I like this ledger one. I like writing in a ledger notebook as though it's just a regular notebook. But I don't know if I'll do that with the date book. And I'm psyched about this like rate, review, and remember a logbook thing.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah, I mean, but what am I gonna do? I don't know. I'm not gonna like rate the beers I try at a brewery. I'm not gonna. I mean, I guess I don't really like rating books. I don't know. I don't know if you've noticed this about me on Goodreads. If a book deserves less than 4 stars, I just don't give it a rating because I feel too guilty about it, and I think I couldn't even do it. In a private notebook. I don't think I could like slack off some book in a private. Maybe I could. Maybe I could. So yeah,
if somebody finished a book, that's 3 stars. You're starting with 3 stars
right.
For just completing the project.
Yeah. But they're cool. I mean, they do have, they've got a table of contents. You know, I like that whole idea. But maybe I'll use it. Maybe my next dream notebook, I will rate my dreams. Maybe that's what I'll do. Dream. I mean, I really might.
Good.
Or maybe clouds. Maybe I'll rate clouds that I've seen. Or sunsets or something.
3.5 stars to that sunset.
That's right. That's right.
Not enough clouds.
I used to. Oh, man.
There were 2 4-star clouds and another 3-star cloud, but you're going to need to get some 5-star clouds in there if you want this sunset to get up to 4 stars.
In that last dorm I was in Boston, you were there once or twice. We had this, this window, big window that pointed west, and I'd just sit there and the sun would set, and like nobody would have to be around, and I'd go, B plus. Every time I would just say B plus, and it made me laugh. I've seen better.
So I've been using a composition book.
Okay.
And this is something I've been doing for a little while, and I, for some reason, I haven't mentioned it, but it fits firmly in the things we like to talk about. Because what I'm doing in this is speaking of finishing a book, I want to finish a book before I depart this mortal coil. I don't really care about publishing it or selling it to anybody, or maybe someone to read it. That would be fun. But I just want to finish a book. So I'm like the noir category. I've talked about it, Raymond Chandler and Big Lebowski and Inherent Vice movie and the book. By the way, Inherent Vice, the book, is fantastic. Thomas Pynchon. So that's what I want to write. I want to write that book. So what I just did a rough timeline for myself. Like, let me finish an outline. Let me finish, not even an outline, but let me write what's going to happen. Like, write out the story, which is actually, I was kind of inspired because, have you seen the movie The Third Man?
Yes.
Orson Welles.
Yeah.
You probably love it and know all about it. I've never watched it, even now. But I stumbled in an Airbnb. There were some books, and there was a slim volume, The Third Man by Graham Greene. So it turns out he was the screenwriter for the film.
Yep.
Which I think is a pretty famous, well-regarded film, right? Do I have that right?
Yes, considered one of the best.
Got it. So I kind of knew that. But then I read the introduction, and Graham Greene basically says, I had to write this screenplay. I was working with the director, but in order to write the screenplay, I had to write a book. I had to kind of write what happens in the story. I had to fill out the characters and kind of have them move through the world in a form that was not a screenplay. But he basically wrote a novella, and
yeah.
I thought that was really interesting how, he had to spark this other creative part of his brain. And to do that, he went back to, presumably it's Graham Greene, what was his kind of wheelhouse part of his brain. All of that to say, I've got this idea. I want to write a noir. And, those are kind of plot, much more plot driven than all of the open-ended stuff that I've written in the past. So I before I even start quote unquote writing the book, I wanted to lay out the story. Here's what'll happen. Here's this character's here. That character. This is. It's sort of like the story, not the plot. If that makes sense. Or
yeah.
I guess the storyline or the actual events, and then go back and start writing. Pick a point to start in, knowing kind of what happened before and what'll happen after, and then sort of deciding what to divulge or not divulge. And so that's what I've set as my deadline for the end of the year. But in order to do that, I had to just have one. For some reason, I couldn't do it on the computer. And because it feels too finite and clean and whatever. So I picked up the composition book that I bought at the thrift store and just started writing it out. And so I kind of had gotten into a groove where on the right side, sequence of events. I just wrote that at the top and kind of laid out, all right, this is what is actually going to happen. This is where it'll be. And kind of just scratching it out real ugly, pencil sometimes, pen, just classic composition notebook. And then on the left side, kind of like I wrote a character list on one page on the left side so that I could keep track and at least make up names, just have names for now. And then I listened to a podcast about well, you know, what makes a great mystery novel? So I jotted down a bunch of the, you know, all these different, you know, well-known mystery and suspense writers, gave their wisdom in little short essays. So I kind of jotted down a bunch of those notes on the left side. Did like a, you know, like the protagonist's profile on the left side. So I've got kind of right side is just force myself to map out a plot, like a story of what's the crime and what's the, where does this guy go next? And then after that, he does this and sends it there just so that I'll have that. Presumably I can go back and write an actual outline of what I want to write. But I don't know. I just wanted to lay that out there because it's really, it's been in fits and starts and I'm really not putting any big pressure on myself. Maybe I'll use NaNoWriMo to really knock out a big part of the
stuff. Oh, yeah, that's coming up.
But it's been this really delightful, creative, open-ended, but somewhat structured creative endeavor because I've never really done that where I've really tried to tell a long story with twists and turns and send them there and these two people meet and have a fight and then they go off there and this guy comes back. Like, so I'm really pushing myself and using this cheap notebook format to kind of push, go, go, go.
So I've got a lot of questions. I got questions about the left side and the right side. And I think that's very interesting. And I like that you described, you know, exactly kind of how the pages are divided up and what you're doing on each page and the thought process behind it. But so on the right page, you said maybe you're going to use what's on the right side to eventually write an outline. So, you know, what are you writing right now? Isn't the novella that's going to become the novel.
No, not like that.
Right.
What I think it is what happens. And then if you think about a detective story or a noir or a, you know, a thriller or whatever, there's the plot mechanism working under the surface. And then there's sort of what the writer exposes you to as a reader as you go. So there's a dead body. Well, the writer already knows where that dead body came from. The reader doesn't know. And so the writer's starting in the middle of the story, but there's a whole story that led up to that the writer will then unfold and expose through probably usually, you know, the actions of a protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm challenging myself to do is to know the framework story all the way through first, if that
Got
makes
it.
Sense.
Yeah.
So it's the framework story. It's like I haven't even, I don't even know
so
where
So you
else.
Might have the motive that doesn't get revealed until the end of the book, but you got to figure out what the motive is at the start.
Exactly.
I got it.
I don't think I'm going to be skilled enough to have an actual like motive or multiple characters with motive. Like, it might not even be like that level of, you know, mysterious or whatever, like Agatha Christie. It might just be more like crazy events unfolding that have some characteristics of a mystery, but are kind of like more the noirish thing of like, what's going on here? What are the forces at play? So I can't say how it'll end up, but I had that strong sense of like, I wanna lay out all these interlocking mechanisms for myself first.
So I do also then have questions about the left side of the page, which you said you'd got heard the, you know, the, or you'd read, or I think you heard on a podcast, the thoughts of like noted mystery writers and their suggestions.
Yeah.
And were there any that stuck out to you that were really interesting? And, you know, where do you hear them? It sounds fascinating.
So this was, I'll link to it. I'm not going to remember the title, but it was an audio book of essays. I think I just literally searched Spotify for how to write a mystery, just kind of almost cheekily to myself. The main message was it's unclear what leads to success. Nobody seems to know how they do it, and nobody has the perfect formula for, you know, how you create a great mystery.
So it's a mystery.
Exactly. Lee Child, the famous writer, said he never has a plan or an outline. So I nailed that one.
Mm-hmm.
He said the novel is a stuntman. I think something along the lines of you throw him off a
that's not
a building and see. He actually had some complicated metaphor where, like, sometimes the stuntman hits the bag not directly. It was kind of
jeez.
Thanks,
Lee Child. Lee Child wants to ensure that no one else becomes a successful mystery writer.
All of my notes here are really bland and mundane. Like,
that's all right.
Suspense drives the book. What happens next? I mean, what I liked about that the essays, if someone delves into them, is they're very practical. You know, it's like, make something happen. Something's got to happen. Put it in a cool setting. You know, create a threat. Have somebody sneak up behind somebody. And, you know, these are the kind of things that I have never naturally created. I've never been like, oh, this dude's going to be so scared because there's like a missile flying, you know, across. Like, I've never written that way. I've always been more of the like, you know, oh, I'm so literary and this sentence will be perfectly crafted and whatever. So I kind of need this simplified pep talk type thing. So it works for me. But they're really not. Yeah, I mean, even the notes I took are not. I think I was cleaning the house or something while
well,
I listened to it. It was fun
well,
to listen to.
Against the anti-outline thing, I've been thinking about, I heard this interview with Colson Whitehead a few years ago, and I really liked it, and I thought I wrote it on our blog, and I checked, and I did. I wrote, like, one of the passages on our Take Note blog, like, practical writing advice, and he always has an outline, and then he decides, he says, like, he has a plan every day for what he's going to do, and it's, like, check one thing off the list from the outline, and there's,
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah, he's got an outline, he knows, and it's, like, he knows what's going to happen on every page, right? So he needs to write, like, you know, a list of 200 items from beginning to end, and that's how he you know, he's doing outlines.
My practice of not using an outline has not yet resulted in a book, so it can't hurt for me to go with an alternate approach, and in some sense I'm yearning a little bit for that level of clarity and what I how to proceed, not even day to day, but just, you know, when I find a little time here and there that I've actually given myself an end destination, you know, to get to the end of this framework story that I wrote. So it's like, okay, well, let me go back to my framework. Let me write that scene that I've told myself is part of this storyline. So I think I'm craving that in a way that just feels right at the moment. Again, no timelines, you know, end of the year to finish the plan. Yeah, maybe I get it around to it at NaNoWriMo. Maybe I don't. Doesn't really matter to me. I'm enjoying the process and exercising, you know, to give myself a few years on the end there to finish this project up before
you shuffle off the Mortal Coil. Yeah. You gave yourself a timeline right off the start. Well, no pressure, but in the same in the same blog post about Colson Whitehead, I also wrote that I can't stop thinking about Jonathan Franzen saying he's just trying to make sure that every sentence is cliche-free and has a thought in it. So just as long as there's absolutely no cliches and every single thought, every single sentence has a thought, I think you're good to go. It's just as simple as that.
Right. No pressure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a What Do You Got that I think I forgot to read last week. On vacation...
One of our famous Forgot Your Gots.
Beautiful vacation town in the south of France. Hillside, amazing place. Finished my previous book. This was before I found, that's where I found The Third Man. Before I found The Third Man, I was scraping around for reading material and there was a little free library in this little French beach town. It was very charming. The only book in English in the little free library was The Corrections by Jonathan
Franzen. Oh, nice.
Looked at that, thought, no. Not
good. Oh, really?
No. No way. No thanks. Anyway, I was rescued by Graham Greene.
Fantastic. Well, this has been great. We should do this again next week, Ted.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
You want to wrap it up? I don't know how to do that.
Sure. We got a website. It's takenote.space. It didn't sound like URL, but I guarantee you if you type that into the the top little bar of your browser there. It'll take you to our website. You can find the Patreon there if you wanted to support us with real money. That's what you would join a select few, and you would be forever held in high esteem in our hearts. You could sign up for our newsletter, get to the occasional missive that just builds on these thoughts that that come pouring out of us.
It's a weekly newsletter that comes out once every 6 months.
And you can send us an email, just a straight up electronic piece of mail to the email address takenotecentral@gmail.com. So we look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, take care.
That was great.